Richard Herring has joined us to talk about his new... Is it like a one-man show, Richard?
It is a one-man show, yeah.
It's a one-man show. Before we get on to the substance of that difficult subject, we talk about sneaking into movies.
Yeah.
Underage. Do you remember any delights which you shouldn't have had?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw... well, very early I saw Kentucky Fried... When I was about 14, I went to see Kentucky Fried Movie, which was doing a double bill at the Wells Cinema with The Other Cinderella, which was a very soft porn film.
That must be the...
Is that the one that Pauline was seeing? Well, she said it was Snow White in the 70s. When we did Five Live Money with Pauline a while back, she remembers at 14 going to see a pornographic version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Well, I think the word pornographic may have been overstating the rudeness of it.
Yeah.
It was quite, you know, it was exciting as a 14-year-old. I'm not sure I'd enjoy it so much anymore.
Is that the only one you went to?
I saw a few things when I was, before, when I was 18 and stuff. I mean, I remember really wanting to go and see Life of Brian and my mum and dad not letting me go because I wasn't, it was a sort of 15 or something like that at the time, or 14, whatever it was, and I was 13. And I was being very upset. I eventually got to see it, but I don't know if before or after.
Now, Richard is here to tell us about his new show. So, what do you want to say about it? In the spirit of Rhett Butler, I'm going to say it's your new show is Talking Cock.
Right. Okay.
And it's the is your male riposte to the Vagina Monologues. The idea coming from you going to see that show?
I was last year. I did a equally controversial show called Christ on a Bike, which was about my personal take on. Jesus and what I thought he was about, and I shared a theatre in London with the Vagina Monologues, so I was backstage listening to it every night before I went on, because I was on after it, so sort of gradually this idea, and everyone was coming to me saying, oh, you should do a male version of this, and I was going, nah, it'd be rubbish, it's such an obvious idea, someone's bound to do it, and eventually I thought, but actually there is a really good reason to do it, because the reason the sort of Vagina Monologues came about was about women's shame and embarrassment, and actually secretly men are much more ashamed and embarrassed and unable to talk about particular issue.
Okay, we'll talk to Richard in just a moment. Richard Herring is with us. Are you a movie man, Richard?
Do
you go to the movies more than Ken Loach?
I think probably a bit more than Ken does, but I tend to buy the DVDs now as well, so wait till the future come out.
See, I know, you see, this is the sign of age, isn't it? There are some films you just think, actually, I will wait till that comes out, and there are some movies that you just have to go and see.
No, absolutely.
In the cinema, like Lord of the Rings, for example.
Yeah, although it does work very well on DVD, Lord of the Rings.
It does work on both, I have to say.
Yeah, it does.
I found it intensely moving in the cinema, and also just, I was just on DVD.
And that's because it's just brilliant.
It is.
And there we go.
Although, I found it a lot, this is obviously, it stands to reason that scary movies in the cinema are going to be more scary there, but I did think that my favourite bit, which is with the ring race when they're going around, it's too dark for the television. Actually, just cinematically, it's so dark you don't appreciate quite how scary it is.
But that's probably because you don't do what you ought to do, which is to draw all the curtains and dim all the lights in the room. You just sort of watch them casually, like you'd watch television, as opposed to making the deal of it that one should do.
But I have a life. There are other things going on in the world, Mark, as opposed to in your world.
Are there?
Yeah. Mark watches movies for breakfast, Richard.
Yeah, so well, that's cool. It's a good job to have. I wish I could get paid to do it.
Most people have a routine which involves things like breakfast radio or apparently breakfast television, some people indulge themselves with. But you have a couple of videos to watch before breakfast.
Yep. It started when I was doing the Sight and Sound video column. There was no way of getting through Secret Games 1 to 7 unless you started at 7 o'clock in the morning.
An extraordinary world you live in. Anyway, Richard's here not to talk about movies, he wants to talk about his show, which we will do with a delicacy...
Oh, absolutely.
Which is appropriate. So do we get lots of... euphemisms, as many euphemisms
that's
for the old boy as we can come up
there
with.
There are, you know, lots of things. Some I've made up and some I've appropriated. Skin chimney.
Made up?
Yeah, I made up the pink lighthouse that wants to draw you onto its rocks. I made that one up. I made up the naughty Nazi salute as a euphemism for a certain certain function of this organ that we're discussing. It's quite pathetic that we're not allowed to say penis, aren't we? But,
that's where the title of your show is a disadvantage.
did you ever come across the Mole of Kintyre? Because in British obscenity law, the Mole of Kintyre was taken as the angle of the Mole of Kintyre was, if it was more than that, it was obscene, and if it was less than that, it wasn't. So
hang on a second.
So, if you look at a map of Scotland, you see the Mole of Kintyre.
Okay, I've got it.
There we go. Thank you.
When we did it, we did a TV show called Fist of Fun, me and Stuart Lee, and we had a a sketch where there was some footballers in a shower, and accidentally one of the actors had been caught, you know, full frontal, and because he was quite large, the film had to be sent to Manchester so a bloke could measure the angle of the offending member to make sure
against the model of Kintyre.
Yeah, to make sure it wasn't tumescent.
Is it this program's been a minefield for the moment we came off the sports panel. Is the Mullah Kintyre geographically unique then in being useful for this kind of
It idea? Was the thing that was used in a particular obscenity trial in which it was virtually ruled by a judge that this would be...
Is the Isle of Wight not useful? Or the Isle of Man? I mean, can that
the
be...
The Isle of Man?
What? Could the Isle of Man not be used for similar purposes?
The Isle of Man looks like a small dog running in the Irish Sea.
Okay, so not very useful.
Not very useful, no.
Florida maybe you could use, but that's quite... that's pointing down, so that's not going to be much problem, much use.
Peter Gibbs emails, says, saw your show in Edinburgh, funniest thing I've seen for ages, and probably the best of the comedy I saw in a week, packed with good performers.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
And he makes a reference which has been crossed out. Part of the censorship which you're going to get, I think. So explain the relevance of the website, Richard, in setting the show up.
Well, it's kind of... I set it up in May, and I set up a website. Website, which is www.talkingcast.co.uk, and I put two anonymous questionnaires on there. There's one for men, one for women. I wasn't really sure what would come up from it, so to speak, but there's sort of 70 questions for men and about 25 for women, and I just got thousands of responses to it just really quickly, and it's just amazing stuff. So a big portion of the show is reading out people's responses, talking about the statistics. I sort of asked various, you know, size issues and also bizarre practices. I asked men where they'd put it for amusement. And I really wish I hadn't asked that. I got some terrifying responses of what men have done to have fun. A toilet roll full of jelly is the...
That was the bit that had been crossed out.
There's nothing offensive about a toilet roll full of jelly, and per se, I can say that. You have to make the connection.
Okay, which I did. But there are some serious points that you're making as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it was sort of, you know, I wanted to make it funny, and it is a funny show, but there are three or four quite serious moments. I felt the vagina monologues was a bit too worthy and actually excluded men. When I went to see it as a man, I felt like, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm the worst person in the world by dint of my sex. So I wanted to make sure it was inclusive of men and women, and thankfully women seem to really, really enjoy it, which is nice, and that's why I wanted women's point of view, and actually getting women's point of view. These things, you know, it's a thing, it's like Quality Street, it's made to be shared, is what I think, and no one wants the unpleasant green ones, but you occasionally come across a massive purple one, don't you, in the shops these days. That's Quality Street I'm talking about. So it was...
Where does the horrible cracknell come
in? Oh, believe me, there's several of those out there.
Can you make a joke out about each member of the Quality Street family?
I think we can. I think the long orange ones, or the silver, gold ones. But it's been amazing. The website, just I've had 5,000 people respond to this thing now. So it's... So I'm getting quite interesting statistics coming up about. There's a lot of men who are, I'd say about a quarter of men have some quite serious issue about size or shape or inability to perform or whatever, and or pressure to perform. And it's quite, and I think that's generally not, men never talk about that, and then men never admit it. I think one in four men, 27% of men are ashamed or embarrassed about their genitals, which is, according to my survey, which I think is an incredibly high amount.
Is the show illustrated at all?
I mean, it is. There's quite a graphic slideshow, sort of Clockwork Orange style slideshow at the beginning, and mainly with classical and euphemistic things, but occasional nasty things dropped in. And I've got three screens at the back with all the statistics come up, and also there are illustrations of various things. But it is. I mean, I think it's very interesting, and as a man, I found it very interesting to investigate as well as that the actual stereotype of men that we get as being sort of adolescent, promiscuous, sexually self-serving, responsibly shirking adolescence, which seems to be sort of accepted.
Can you buy souvenirs?
There's a program at the moment. There's a very nice souvenir, 16-page souvenir program.
Well, I think with could extra have been a bit
image.
More creative.
I think maybe when it seems to be, you know, it's taking off in quite a big way. So I would imagine there may be. Someone sent me a product by which you can make a facsimile, let's say it, of yourself.
Cynthia Plastercaster made an entire career out of
absolutely.
Doing that in the 1960s.
This is nothing if not a creative exercise.
Yeah, it's been fascinating. I mean, it's really sort of taken over my life. I'm beginning to wish I'd done a show about mammary glands instead, really, to be honest, but it's I'm not particularly interested in, no. In penises, I have to say. But
have your parents come to the show?
They haven't yet, but they are going to come, I think. They were planning to come to... I'm at the Soho Theatre until the 19th, but I think they're going to come...
In London?
Yeah, I think they're going to come and see me in Swindon, where I'm doing some gigs in the new year around the country, so... hopefully there'll be 30 or 40 dates all around the country, so I think they're going to come to one of those now.
Are you expecting pickets, or hoping to have pickets outside?
I'm not. I would, you know, the funny thing is, with my show last year, which was about Jesus, everyone was going, oh, you're going to be in big trouble, especially when I went to Belfast. I went, oh, you're going to be in massive trouble, you know, doing a show about Jesus here. And I think, like, when I did the London run, I had one bloke outside for about 2 days, and by the end, he'd been joined by another bloke, and they were handing out leaflets to the general amusement of everyone who came to my show, so it kind of just added to the show. It sounded like publicity, but...
So are you just... So this is you on your own now. Are you going to do any more with Stuart?
Well, I hope so. It's kind of not really up to us. It's up to, you know, the BBC in their infinite wisdom.
Well, you could have involved him in this one, mate.
Well, you know, yeah. It's nice to do stuff. It is nice for us to be doing. We're both working separately. He's been working on this Jerry Springer opera, which is, again, a very big success in Edinburgh, which is hopefully going to the West End and everything. So it's good working on separate projects, but it seemed like we just reached a point where we were getting really good, and then BBC Two decided they didn't want to have us on anymore. So and that sort of is, I think we would do it again, and there are whispers of stuff going on, but we're both enjoying ourselves separately. We worked together for 15 years, pretty much solidly, so it's quite nice.
It's nice not to see him just for a while.
It is, yeah, you know, really. He's a lovely bloke, but... He's annoying.
Okay. And so, having done the life of Jesus from your point of view and talking, your current show, you're going to do something, having established your reputation in this area, perhaps you ought to get together with Ken Loach and make something...
That would be great.
Something like a romantic comedy. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I was thinking, I'm actually writing a film, coincidentally, about... I probably can't say what it's about. It's about sexually transmitted diseases.
Oh, you're up and running on this now, aren't you?
So that's going... So I'm just... But then I'm also writing a film about Cheddar Caves in the 19th century, which has no... nudity or
connotation
or genitalia, or there's caves, I suppose, you know, if you want to people going
Quarter
into
Street.
Caves.
It's been good to you coming in, Richard. Thank you very much. Thank you for treading round the minefield. I bet Ned Sheeran didn't put you through all that.
He didn't. He was great. He was very open.
Well, he would be.
Well, you know, he's got an interest.
Richard, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
It's 3:15. This is 5 Live. You can get away with that.
So, yeah.
Did we get away with that?
Just about. I was just backing off, you know, gently.
Okay.
I kind of gave up at Quality Street because after that everything just became rude.
Do you get to that point where, I mean, there are a couple of things that you said in that conversation, Richard, where I thought someone was going to laugh and they didn't, because once you're onto the subject, everything sounds vulgar.
Exactly, it is. I mean, that's the biggest challenge of the show, is to not just do gags like that, the kind of euphemistic sort of just silly, you know, double entendres, because they're all there all the time. You just have to get over that quite quickly.